Well, I hope it's going to stop raining. Maybe you're thinking, I hope he's not going to go on too long. I hope I set the oven right for dinner. No worry. What's the hope in your head and your hearts? Now, those are trivial things, but what's your real hope? The deepest hope. Where do you find your hope? Where do you put your trust? In whom do you put your trust that you hold on to? Because it seems to be, as we look around, there's less and less that's really trustworthy. It doesn't seem that long ago that fake news was not a thing. And now it's all around us. And with artificial intelligence coming on board, and with all of the good things, the benefits from it, but also some of the pitfalls with it, we struggle. What's true? What's not true? What can I trust? What shouldn't I trust? Things which once were dependable, we're now looking at and thinking, I'm not so sure. And in many ways, we're a generation whose hope is being shaken. Because the things and the people that we once hoped in and trusted have in some ways shown themselves not to be dependable. We face economic chaos. I don't understand economics at all. But we face economic chaos around us. Inflation, rising prices, all the rest of these things that impact upon our lives. And for those of us who trusted in our bank balances and thought we would be able to buy our way and pay our way out of issues, we're now coming up against it and realizing that's not the case. Wars, rumors of wars, political instability, you don't have to look too far to find all these things. The environmental chaos in which we live, international terrorism that seems to be rampant, it is easy to lose hope. It is easy to lose hope. So today's passage, which Melanie's just read for us, if you want to turn it up in Hebrews chapter 6 in the Pew Bible, it's a passage which calls us not to lose hope, but to hold on to it, to grab hold of hope and to hold on to it. In the midst of all the turmoil around us and within us, the writer of the Hebrews says, hold on to hope. Don't lose hope. Way back, Genesis, God promises many descendants to Abraham. He makes an oath to emphasize it's unchanging, the unchanging nature of God's promise. And there's no one greater than God for him to make an oath by, so he simply makes an oath by himself. That makes God's word, which is already totally trustworthy, almost doubly dependable. Not only has God spoken his promise, but he's given an oath to confirm it. We can trust God in his word and keeping his promises. So when you go back to the book of Genesis and you read Abraham's story, you find that God makes this promise to Abraham. He makes an oath to Abraham. Abraham, you will have many descendants. And Abraham and Sarah wait and wait and wait. And we're not good. We're not good at the waiting thing. Everything has to be now. Abraham and Sarah wait patiently, knowing that God has promised, and years later, Isaac is born. God has kept his promise. God has fulfilled his purposes. So we can look in the, if you like, look in the rear view mirror, and look back And the writer here says we can be so encouraged. We can be encouraged because here's the God who promised and who keeps his promises. The God who hasn't changed. The God who is unfailing. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it when he was glad." So Jesus is saying, Abraham, way back then, Abraham knew that there would be a day when Jesus was around. And he was glad and rejoiced in it. Why? Because Abraham trusted God. The God who made a promise to him and who kept the promise. This is the God who is unchanging. And Abraham says, I saw it. I'm glad in it. Jesus will be there. So by faith, Abraham trusts that God would keep this promise. Abraham anticipated all of this. He looked forward to all of this. We live on this side of the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know these things have happened. We know that God has been true to his word. We know that God has kept his promise. So we should be people who are encouraged in God, the God who never fails. So we take hold of the hope which is offered to us in Jesus. As we stand with everything spinning around us which would rob us of our hope, the writer to the Hebrews says, hold on to Jesus. Here's your hope. Hold on to hope. And so verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. This wonderful picture of an anchor. And if you were around big ships and boats and ferries and things, the size of the anchors on those are huge. And they fall to the seabed, and they get a grip on the seabed, and they can't be moved. It's a ship kept safe because it has a large and secure anchor. We are kept safe and steady because of Jesus. The anchor of the ship goes to the seabed. The anchor of the believer goes to that heavenly sanctuary and is moored to Jesus Christ himself. Hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. I suppose, certainly during the periods of lockdown, many of us felt hope sort of gradually seeping away. I still remember a phone call, answering the phone, and one man on the other end introduced himself and then very quickly said, Stephen, is this the end of the world? Hope. One of the many things that encouraged me during those days was the Getty song, which has this lovely, lovely refrain, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. That's what the writer to the Hebrews wants us to know. Your Savior loves you so. No matter what is happening around you or within you, your Savior loves you so, and he will hold you fast like an anchor, so that you are steady and safe. But the interesting thing is, we can hold fast only because we are being held fast. It's a bit like the loving him who first loved me. We can hold fast because we're already held fast by God. Paul, when he writes to the church in Philippi, says this, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus has already taken hold of you. And because Jesus has hold of you, you can hold on to him. You can hold on to him because he already has a grip on you. That ship's anchor is vital in staying steady against winds and waves and currents, holds that ship in place. But you can have the strongest anchor moored in the strongest way to the seabed. If it's not fixed to the ship, it's of no use. A massive anchor sitting on the seabed is useless if your boat is just bobbing about on the surface, not attached to it. And so the writer to the Hebrews simply reminds us, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Verse 19 again. It's an anchor for the soul. Not only is it anchored in Jesus Christ who has gone ahead of us, it's anchored in our own souls. And if it's not anchored in our own souls, then that anchor is no use because it is separated from us. Moored in Jesus, anchored in our souls, and we are firm and secure. How do we anchor in our souls? Well, it starts when we recognize our need for the Savior. It starts when we recognize that we are sinful people who can do nothing about it except run to Jesus. Open our lives to him and in repentance and faith and accept him as Lord and Savior. And when we do that, then this mooring is secure in our own souls. Moored to our Savior who has gone ahead of us. So where is your anchor? Who is your anchor? Who do you trust? What do you trust? What is your hope? Where is your hope? These are important questions because they don't just affect what we do this afternoon. I hope it stops raining this afternoon so we can have a walk. This hope affects all of eternity. When we trust in Jesus, when our hope is in him, then for eternity we are firm and secure. That's what's held out for us. And that's what we hold on to. There are probably enough BB boys around the place to sing the BB hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and firm while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. In the midst of everything else going on around us, this is where our grounding needs to be, our mooring, our anchor. And the Savior's love for you. Take time. Take time to ask yourself those questions about your hope, your anchor. Let's pray together. Lord, there are times when life can feel like being on a stormy sea and we're not quite sure what's coming next or where it's coming from. And so we thank you for your promise to be that firm and secure anchor for us. Lord, give us no rest, no peace in our hearts until we are grounded in Jesus. And then, Lord, may your peace and your rest flood our souls. And this we pray in the name of Jesus, who is that rock which cannot move. Amen.